Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Check it, sports fans. You're tuned to the Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network, and this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, believe me, never duplicated. I am Pedro Fernandez. You're a somewhat modest host. Can I say modest? I think I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So I have a different perspective, maybe a different outlook on boxing than you, the average fan. But straight up, I give you the opportunity on top of each show to call me on the toll-free if you'd like. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You got something to say on boxing? That's where you do it. Straight up, last night, pretty good night of boxing. How can I put this? Not a great night of boxing. There doesn't seem to be any really, really great boxing. But is Brian Norman Jr., the next WBO welterweight champion, is he the next star of as far at 147 pounds concerned? Of course, he took about another guy. But when you look at the fact that there really aren't any superstars stepping out. I mean, Gervonta Davis, somebody said he was a superstar, and then a month ago he took that knee, and of course all that controversy involving the referee, and then the athletic commission afterwards said they didn't have an instant replay, so they couldn't rule on it. Well, you didn't need instant replay. You saw it right in front of you, and there was a TV company or a TV network doing the same thing. They were showing us the replay time and time again. So if the athletic commission wanted to look at a TV replay, they had the opportunity. They didn't want to. Of course, I'm talking about the Lamont Roach Gervonta Davis fight of about a month ago. Of course, the Madison Square Garden, Brooklyn, I take it back, Brooklyn's Barclays Center, of course, sold out. Gervonta Davis did a pretty good gate, no doubt about that. But Lamont Roach deserved to walk away that night with the win. There was just no doubt about it. They called it a draw. I think it was 114-114, and then one judge had it one way and one judge had it another way. But at the end of the night, though, I thought Lamont Roach did more than enough to win by a couple of points. I mean, that knockdown, I don't think he needed a knockdown to win. But then again, this is politics. And, of course, politics in play anytime there's some two people stepping in the ring of boxing. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. Boxing rules is political. I mean, this is no doubt about it. Of course, Sebastian Vettori, a winner last week. No surprise there, I guess. Chordale Brooker coming in and getting the payday. But the bottom line is he's no match for the WBC and WBO 154-pound champion who walks around at 6'5", almost 200 pounds. Straight up, 154 pounds what he fights as a champion. But then again, he walks around at 200 pounds. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D will be here today.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Testing, testing.
We are live from Chick-fil-A.
This is Grant.
And this is Laura.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that sweet bun.
And that chicken filet was perfectly crispy and soft at the same time.
And that Smokehouse Barbecue sauce, it's a lot of fun. And the brown sugar bacon definitely had a little bit more pizzazz. Also, the Mac, one of the all-time greats. Man, I'm getting hungry.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
He's back. No, I'm not talking about Chucky in some Friday the 13th movie. I'm talking about Deontay Wilder. Wants to fight again. He could take on some guy named Herndon. It looks like it's going to go down in June. We'll talk about that with Tommy D in just a few minutes. But get this. The guy was a 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, okay? I mean, he accomplished a lot for a guy that didn't have a whole lot of boxing background, a whole lot of acumen, a whole lot of experience. I mean, the bronze medal in the Olympics, of course, went on to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, at one point in time, I mean, he was making a lot of money. He's made enough money where he could, like, burn money and still live for the rest of his life comfortably, right? But he wants to come back. This ego thing. Some people think it's the spotlight. You can't get away from the spotlight. Bottom line is Deontay Wilder's going to get hurt, no doubt about that. Of course, his last couple of fights haven't looked all that great, have they? No, they haven't. Anyway, last night, WBC interim title. Wait, why would there be an interim title for the WBC when the WBC champion is Shakur Stevenson, and he defended his title a fortnight ago on television? Everybody saw it. Remember that? It was on TV? So why would you need to throw an interim title fight 2 weeks later for the same title? I mean, I don't get it. There's only one champion, or there should be only one champion. Of course, I'm talking about Shakur Stevenson. Now, I'm not a big fan of Shakur. You know I'm not a big fan of Shakur. I'm just not, okay? But the bottom line is, if Roberto Duran was champion and the WBC said, guess what, we're gonna have an interim champion, Duran would absolutely go berserk, okay? They wouldn't have done that to him. I think it's a slap in the face. But yeah, these guys, they don't see it that way. And of course, now you've got two guys being the WBC interim champion. Of course, we know what the interim champion of the World Boxing Council means, the world of bunko and chicanery in some people's minds. Of course, we beat Canelo in some other minds as far as the WBC is concerned. But, you know, the bottom line is at the end of the day, they're just looking to make that money. I mean, these sanctioning fees, that's what it's all about. Sanctioning fees control the boxers, and they get a percentage from the promoter. The promoter pays the sanctioning fees. Of course, the promoter pays fees, both fighters pay fees, the WBC makes out. So the more titles, the better for the World Boxing Council, no doubt about that. Now, last night, in the WBC interim lightweight title fight, Williams Zepeda, of course, won a majority decision. Now he's 33 and zip, 27 KOs. 12-round majority winner over former IBF super featherweight champion Tevin Two Times Farmer. Now 33-8, one draw, 8 KOs. Listen, you can't win a fight. A black guy that can't punch can't win a fight with your back to the ropes. You can't. I don't care if he ran off some rounds or not. Didn't win enough rounds to impose his will and win the fight. Some people say to me, oh, yeah, the fight was close. I didn't think it was that close. Even though down the stretch, Farmer did a whole lot better than he did early on. But I'm just telling you, Zepeda won more rounds. He just won more rounds. There's no doubt about it. And unified WBO and WBA minimum weight champion, 105 pounds. The guy's like a jockey, okay? But he can fight. Oscar Collazo, now 12-0, 9 KOs, retained his title with a fifth-round KO over Edwin Canito Cano. Cano came in at 13-2, left at 13-3. No surprise there, 4 KOs. A body shot took him out. But I got to tell you, who cares? I mean, as Tommy D will say, you know, he's the best fighter, the best Puerto Rican fighter going. I mean, that's what Tommy D will say, that he's the best Puerto Rican fighter going, Collazo. But who cares? I mean, at 105 pounds, how many other guys can fight? I mean, that's what it all boils down to. Like Ricardo Lopez, remember that? Remember he had that big run, 49-0, except for the fight he had with the Rosendo Alvarez down the Nicaraguan. I thought he got beat there, but they called it a draw of some kind. But the bottom line is Ricardo Lopez went a long time undefeated, but he was fighting at 105 pounds. I mean, there's no, the impeccable one could win titles at 105. I mean, because nobody can really fight at 105. And they're so small. If you get one guy that can fight at 105, you got to have other guys to make him a great fighter. You can't just say he's a great fighter because he has skills. And, of course, that's the story with Collazo. But Collazo looked good last night at 105 pounds, but I just can't get off on 105 pounds. Now, in the main event across the street, talking about ESPN, that was DAZN, unbeaten WBO welterweight champion Brian Norman Jr. made his inaugural defense of the world title, I won't call it that, okay, when he took out Derek Cuevas. Of course, Cuevas came in at 27-1, left 27-2, 19 KOs. Man, it was like a finished him in round three with a knockdown after a barrage of punches. I'm telling you, this guy looks pretty good. And, of course, the main event didn't maybe live up to the first fight, but the bottom line is it was a grudge match. WBO featherweight, welterweight champion, Mikel Amaya, 21-2 now, 5 KOs, defeated Sandy Ryan, I think, for the second time now. Again, via a 10-round unanimous decision to retain her world title. Meyer outworked Ryan to pull away 97-93, 97-93, and 98-92. Meyer beat Ryan by majority decision. And their first fight, of course, was a good fight. People sort of questioned the fact that it was a main event on TV, but guess what? It lived up to the hype. Tommy D, ready to go? Mr. Thomas Dillamuth is in the other room, is on the line from the Bronx. And how are you today, sir?
What's going on, Pedro? How's everything? I'm good.
That's good. That's good. Were you on YouTube this morning?
There was a show on YouTube on my channel. With some of my friends, you know, we speak boxing pretty much every day, and you know, so they had a little show this morning. It's pretty good.
Okay. You thought that Farmer did okay last night when you and I were talking? I thought you can't win a fight on the ropes. You can't win a fight on the ropes, especially against a Mexican champion in a WBC title fight.
In the first half of the fight, he was doing a lot of that and sucking the ropes. I thought maybe like the first five rounds, you know, Zepeda looked, you know, he was more active. And, you know, I thought he was winning. He won maybe three or four of those the first five rounds. But the second half of that fight, I thought Farmer swept pretty much, you know, maybe from 7 to 12. You know, I think he got jobbed of a knockdown in the last round.
Okay, some people thought he got hit on the back of the head, but that's a matter of conjecture and debate. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, to beat a Mexican champion, you got to bring it to him in the WBC, bro. I keep telling you that, and that's why Bob Lee started the International Boxing Federation.
Yeah, and it was in Cancun, in Mexico, so it made it even more tough. I mean, when
Oscar De La Hoya was the front man.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody knew. Like I thought Farmer won. I thought he did enough to win the fight. But when the scorecards were about to be read, I knew he wasn't going to be given the fight.
No, so how did Oscar look last night? Looked like he was on. Looked like maybe he was partying on Colombian dust down there in Mexico, or what?
He did look like it, but I have no comment on that, Pedro.
Did he look like
it,
bro?
I'm not an expert in that. Huh?
Did he look like it?
He looked like he was having a good time.
You know, I knew him when he was 17, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I mean, he was a little kid answering the phone. I mean, so he was almost like Shakur Stevenson. I mean, I kid you not, but not that corny sounding. But the bottom line is, wow, a lot of things have changed. Of course, the incident when I came out in 2009, was it 2009 or 2008? When I came out, when I beat TMZ to the Oscar De La Hoya cross-dressing story. You know, I beat TMZ to that one. I had ringtalk.com going, I think, at the time. And the bottom line is, I beat him that. I remember I sent a picture of him in drag to Emmanuel Stewart. And I said, Emmanuel, is this photo a fake? And Emmanuel looked at the photo, and he looked at the photo, and he goes, let me call you back. So who'll call me back? Anyway, calls me back. They put it on the big screen up there at his house. The secretary put it on the big screen. He said, no, that's not a fake. That's Oscar. So what? So we found out that when Oscar gets high on cocaine, he likes to dress up like a girl. Doesn't make him. I mean, doesn't question his sexuality. Just questions his judgment.
I don't know if it questions his judgment, sexuality. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know.
A lot of guys dress up. I'm not a cross dresser, but a lot of guys do that. I was about to ask somebody a question. They just said, no, just don't even ask the question. Sorry, Tommy D. We're having a good time.
I really don't have any comment. I mean, I've never done it. You said a lot of guys. Well, I would fit the minimal part of that percentage because I've never ever done that. So
okay. Collazo. I mean, the fact that he fights at 105 pounds, he can fight. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But man, if there's nobody to fight at 105 pounds, how does that make him a great fighter?
I mean, he's a great fighter in that division. I mean, I expect him maybe to move up a little bit. I mean, I think it's kind of unfair. You call the what, a disc jockey? What do you call
a horse jockey.
A horse jockey. That's what I mean. He is that small, but I mean, he's
no, he's smaller than a jockey. Jockeys weigh 100. Jockeys weigh one.
He's probably the best Puerto Rican fighter we have going right now.
But jockeys weigh 108. He's at 105.
So maybe he'll be a good. Maybe he should do two sports.
You know what? That's some rough stuff, man. Right? I'm telling you, people laugh. I used to exercise these quarter horses down in Half Moon Bay, and one time we were going around the track, and the horse stopped on a dime. I'm not telling you. He just hit the brakes. I flew off the horse, went around and around, and landed on my feet. It was the luckiest thing I ever pulled off in my entire life, and that sort of ended my my run as being her exercise boy. That was sort of it. $20 a day. Jeez. And we have my buddies. We used to go down to Half Moon Bay. We would ride horses, and before that, I would exercise this lady's horses. She would give me $20. She would allow us to ride for free. Well, guess what? It wasn't worth it after that. I mean, imagine that. I'm flying in the air, Tommy D. The horse stops on a dime, and I'm like flying in the air, and I'm saying to myself, "Oh God, what's gonna happen?" Right? And I land on my feet.
Wow. You definitely had a horseshoe up your, I mean.
Yeah, you know, I definitely had a horseshoe in the right place. There's no doubt about that. If that's what you're going to say, no doubt about that. Now, Collazo, great skills. I said 105 pounds. Is there anybody you want to put him in with 105, 108 pounds that would make for a great fight?
Right now, no, I haven't really looked into it, you know, that far.
Well, it's because nobody jumps out of you at 105 and 108, bro.
They don't. That is true. You know, he's like your guy, Ricardo Lopez, like you mentioned earlier. He finished undefeated, 38
knockouts. Rosendo Alvarez beat him that one time, man, and they pulled some crap on that one. I can't remember what it was, some type of decision, but they pulled some stuff on Rosendo Alvarez that time when he fought Ricardo Lopez. Lopez deserved to have it. You know, every champion has that. I mean, Ali had a couple of weird fights. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a weird fight, but that was Ricardo Lopez's one time where he didn't look stellar.
Yeah, he was knocked down, I believe, early in the fight. I think like the first or second round, and they called it a technical draw or something like that. So,
I mean, I think they called. They were looking to. They were looking to take care of their boy, though. There was just no doubt about it. Now, how good did Norman look last night?
I thought Norman looked great. He looked better than what I thought he would. I honestly thought this Puerto Rican guy was going to be tough. You know, I thought the inactivity would get to him, but the guy quit. He literally quit. He got hit with something. You could see it in his eyes. He didn't want no more. And, you know, credit to Norman. And you know, that left hand, he just had surgery on that left hand. And, you know, I thought he looked phenomenal. I thought he looked great.
All right, we got to go to a station break. We'll come back right after this. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Dysfunctional to an extent. We'll get things together after the break. This is the longest running fight show in history. In case you didn't know it, Ring Talk Live Worldwide with the famous Tommy D on the other line.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Out. We're going to play something called Name Game here. Tommy D is going to throw names at me. I'm probably going to throw in a couple names back at him. Of course, local names, current names, this and that. Bottom line is, Tommy D, take it away.
Hey, Pedro. So we'll go. I'm going to go with, first, I'll go to easy one, Muhammad Ali.
You know, that's that. Why, you know, the greatest of all time, no doubt about that. The only man I know that could really touch people without touching them physically. What I mean by that is, of course, one time we pulled up to a village in China, and there was no newspaper there. There was no internet there. There was nothing at all. There was no electricity. I take that back. There was one wire coming in to the actual village, and they were going to the bathroom in outhouses. And people came out, and they saw him. These people had never seen a newspaper in their life, yet they knew who he was, and they fainted. Some people fainted. I kid you not. So Ali, without a doubt, the man that could touch people without touching them physically. All right, here I'll go back with you. Teofimo Lopez.
So do I give a story or do I?
No. This is not going to be a story type of thing. We went through this before. I have to be on the job training once again with Tommy D. Now listen. No.
Okay.
I'm going to snap names at you. You come back with your first thoughts. I don't want you to and you don't have to sit there and go, well, let me think about it. No. I want you to come back spontaneously with your first thoughts. Okay. I'll change it just a little bit. William Zepeda.
Overrated. I think he's overrated. I think he's an overrated Mexican hype job that's got a couple of gifts on his resume.
Okay. Ajit Kabayel. Ajit Kabayel.
A real heavyweight contender who I think could give Usyk some problems and and could one day be a heavyweight champion of the world.
Okay, here's a question. I'm going to go a little off the board here. Why is Usyk so good? Why is it everybody appreciates his abilities but me? Why am I underappreciative when it comes to him? Am I just an old man?
No, maybe because, you know, this era of heavyweights is just not the same of the heavyweight era it's back in the day, or maybe 20 years ago. You know, I think this era of heavyweights has been kind of, you know, I don't know if I would say underachievers, but I just don't think they're as good. I think if these heavyweights fought 20 years ago with the heavyweights back then, I don't think they would compete with them. I think Usyk would be competitive, but I just think overall, this class, I guess you want to call it this class, is just not as good.
Lennox Lewis would have beat him like a drum.
I think Lennox Lewis would have beat him. That he stops him. Like he stops him in 6 or 7 rounds.
You know? Okay. Okay, one more. There we go. Anthony Joshua. Real deal? A fake? Guy hanging around too long? Does he want to box anymore?
I don't know. I think he's a little bit too much of a diva. I think he may box, you know, again. I think he will. I think he does it. I don't know if he does it for the glory or if he does it for the money. I'm not too sure.
Okay, real quick. Let's change switch gears real quick. Deontay Wilder. He wants to fight again. Why should he? Why shouldn't he?
I honestly don't think he should fight again. But I don't like making decisions for professional athletes.
But the bottom line is he's got more money. He could wipe his butt with $100 bills for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's overachieved in the sport. I think he's done great, phenomenal things. For a guy, and I think you hit it best early on. I mean, he won bronze in the Olympics and really didn't have an amateur career like most that go to the Olympics. I think he's overachieved, became heavyweight champion. He had over, I think, 10 or more title defenses. I think that's a great thing that he's done. I think, you know, does he make the Hall of Fame? I think he should make the Hall of Fame just for the title defenses alone.
Okay.
You know, but – With his amateur background.
Okay, let me go through the top 15 heavyweights in the world according to the BoxRec ratings, and give me who jumps out here. 15, Martin Bukoli, number 14. Can't believe Derek Chisora is still up there. Dillian White, I can't believe it. These guys must be bribing people at BoxRec. Michael Hunter, Justice Hooney, L.A. Ajababa, who's 20-1, Fabio Wardley, Murat Gazulev, Lawrence Okoli, who is 21-1. Tyson Fury, of course, a former heavyweight champion, 34-2. Anthony Joshua, 28-4 now. Joseph Parker, Ajit Kabel, the aforementioned. Daniel Dubois and Oleg Usyk. Who jumps out here?
Nobody.
Nobody, Kabel. Huh?
Ajit Kabel. I think he might be one of the next guy up. And Dubois. I think Dubois, you know, he's on a nice little winning streak, and I would like to see him get the rematch against Usyk. Remember Usyk, you know, kind of got away with that, you know, that 5-minute rest that Pabon gave him on the so-called questionable low blow. So I would love to see a rematch between Dubois and Usyk.
You know, questionable low blows. I was televising the John Ruiz Evander Holyfield, the first fight, and me and the late colonel, Bob Sheridan. Anyway, so we're televising this fight. I think we're at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Joe Cortez, Ruiz fakes a low blow. Okay, he fakes a low blow, and Joe Cortez eats it up, man, eats it up. That changed the entire heavyweight picture because that fight was a draw. That fight ended up being a draw, this and that, and it wasn't a draw, and Holyfield won. Of course, I don't know what Holyfield did wrong to the boxing establishment, but for John Ruiz to beat him, John Ruiz got point decisions over Holyfield. John Ruiz was his corner man, you know, Stormy, or whatever his name is, that crazy guy, Norman.
The crazy one.
Norman Stone. He was the best thing he had going for him because it was his big mouth that got him the rematch.
His big mouth, and like you said, that knockdown, because he should have been stopped. He was hurt. And that was, I thought that was a good punch to the body. He hurt Ruiz. And, you know, if they don't call that a low blow, I don't know if he gets up. You know, because I think he was really hurt, and he took the rest. You know, and then there's no rematch. I don't think you hear Ruiz again after that.
No, you don't. I think that was I take that back. That was that card at the Paris Hotel. Mitch Halperin, the referee, bless you, in the other room. He just sneezed. Anyway, the Mitch Halperin, the referee that ended up killing himself, he refereed on the undercard. That was his last fight, a WBA 108-pound title fight. I can't remember who was involved with it. Might have been Rosendo Alvarez. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is Mitch Halperin, of course, killed himself a few weeks later. Of course, walked into his girlfriend's apartment. Take that back. Walked into his girlfriend's boyfriend's office and blew his brains out in front of the both of them. That's how the referee bit the dust.
You know what? Let's can just because you said that, let's go to a positive note. Okay. Why don't you tell me the story about Jay Nady?
Hey, here's a good one. Jay Nady is 6'5", 6'6", 260 pounds. Okay, used to be a former amateur boxer. Was a standout, I think, at the University of Reno. I'm not sure, but he fought out of Reno. Anyway, bottom line is Jay is not the guy to mess with. Okay, he's just not. You look at him, you say to yourself, this is not the dude to mess with. If he's a bouncer at the door, you're not going through. That's all there is to it. So we're in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and somebody snatched a purse from someone. I don't know if they were in the convention or not, but they snatched a purse, and the purse snatcher ran away, and he ran right past us. You know, like I didn't move too quick. I mean, I didn't. But Jay Nady jumped on this. He ran 2.5 blocks. He beat the absolute snot out of that dude, and he brought this bloody dude back and made the dude give the purse back to the lady.
Wow, that is great. That's excellent. I would never think that Jay Nady was that type of guy.
Jay Nady's he's one of those guys, you know, this is why Zab Judah threw a stool at him. You couldn't hit him. He's too big. He's 6'5". Hey, plus, he was in the taxi business. He owned taxi cabs in Las Vegas. You know what that means? Mob.
I never even thought that either. That's wow.
Oh, I'm just messing with you. You were supposed to react the other way there. Bottom line is Tommy D's on the line. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. This is a Sunday edition. We come to 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Spent some time with the retired HBO Godfather this week. I'll go into that in depth in hour number two. Of course, Larry Merch, alive and well, doing well. The age of 94. And get this. After we had lunch, he took me on a 2-mile walk, and then he did these push-ups. I said to myself, man, come on, Godfather, please. I just want to go back and kick back at your crib. Bottom line is, not too much kicking back when you're in the presence of Larry Merchant. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Night!
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Johnny, what time are you going to bed tonight?
It's been hard to sleep, believe me. I've been trying to sleep, and I'm just so anxious right now.
Okay, well, Pedro, we know you're going to watch movies, and you and your wife?
I'm just too hyped for it, no?
Well, I know, but, man, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't really care. Are you climbing the walls? I mean, do you have plungers on your shoes where you climb up the walls? And
nah, Pedro, what I do is... I read my Bible and try to stay cool and calm, but it's kind of hard still, too.
You ever take out pictures of Danny Romero?
Do I what?
You ever take out a picture of Danny Romero and look at it? Like,
yeah, I've been having him in my gym while I've been training.
Yeah? Yeah. A nice picture of him and not so nice picture of him.
No, well, you know, it's not so nice now, but it was nice when I first got in.
And well, you trained at the top-ranked gym here in Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fletch, is Fletch as cool in the corner as everybody says he is? I mean, is he as cool in the gym as he is in the corner on TV?
Well, you know, Mr. Fletch is just an amazing man all the way around. I mean, he's a legend. I don't got nothing bad to say with him. It's all good and positive.
I'm not asking to say nothing bad. I'm just asking, is he as cool and calm as he seems? I mean, the guy seems like he has ice running through his veins.
Yeah, he's cool, calm, and collective.
Hey, cool, calm, and collective. I wish you the very best of luck this Friday night.
Hey, Pedro, I appreciate it. Say a prayer for me, buddy. If there's anything I can do for you anytime, you let me know.
The late Johnny Tapia, babyface assassin. You know, he had his issues as far as drugs was concerned. One time I said to him, I said, do you mess around on your wife? He said, no, man. So my only mistress is cocaine. So cocaine was his problem. And then, of course, later in life, he was like one of the early victims of the opioid type of thing. And of course, he died from taking them crazy pills. And may he rest in peace. Johnny Tapia was a funny dude to be around. You never knew what personality he was going to show. But Tommy D, one time I was doing one of his fights in El Paso, Texas. I think we're El Paso. I think I was a ring announcer doing the TV as well. And I stepped into the ring to do the post-fight interview. And I said to him, I said, Johnny, we've been doing this a long time together, right? He goes, what the F does that have to do with anything?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So I was like on the defensive the whole time saying to myself, man, but that's just the way he was. I thought he lost that fight. He probably knew he lost that fight too. Can't remember who the club fighter was that he didn't do too well against. But the bottom line is they gave him the fight. And, you know, Johnny was two distinctly different, but like Joe Frazier. Two distinctly different personalities. There was Joe Frazier sober and there was Joe Frazier drunk. Two different guys. There was Johnny Tapia with personality A or Johnny Tapia with personality B. You never knew which one it was, and it wasn't drug related. That was just Johnny.
Wow, that's crazy. Is he inducted in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not sure. Question for you: you ever heard of a guy named Luis Alberto Lopez? Luis Alberto Lopez, of course, the former IBF 130-pound champion, I believe. But the bottom line is, he returned to the ring this past Saturday night following a brain bleed he incurred during his last fight. Now, if a guy incurred a brain bleed, shouldn't he, be permanently banned? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I know that much.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, I think he shouldn't be able to fight again. I mean, that's a very serious, you know, serious thing, man. Another, you know, bad punch or bad, you know, bad blow he takes, you know, he could be dead.
A brain bleed is a concussion. Anytime you get a concussion, your brain's going to bleed a little bit. And if you want to see what a brain bleed really looks like, look at the post-accident pictures of Errol Spence. You see that blood around Errol Spence's eyes? Yeah.
That's
an indication of the brain bleed. Anyway, bottom line is this guy's fighting. He's 31. I don't know why somebody wants to continue to fight. I mean, I guess people don't realize. I guess there's no other opportunities for him. Maybe that's it.
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't fought since the fight with Bud Crawford, and you know he obviously we know what happened in that fight, and you know it looks like the weight may have gotten to him. He's at 147 a very long time, pretty much his whole entire career, you know. And then there was thoughts of him moving up to 154 fighting
Fundura. We got the wrong Luis Alberto Lopez. I'm talking about a guy that fought 130 pounds.
Oh, the one not the one that lost to Angela Leo.
Anyway, bottom line is this guy he's fighting out of Mexicali, and I just don't think that anybody should be fighting. This is why they allowed it to happen, because it was in Mexico. I mean, Edwin Valera wasn't allowed to fight anywhere in the United States except Texas. Coincidence? No. Of course, he was a guy that got into a motorcycle accident as a kid, had brain issues, and there was no doubt about it. He had different brain issues, and of course, he killed his wife.
Yeah, he killed him. He was supposed to be like this great talent too, this great prospect coming up.
I never thought much of him. I've seen a lot of creepy guys in boxing. He was just a creepy guy.
Wow.
He just was. Now back to the weekend. Who shined most this weekend?
In my opinion, I think Brian Norman shined after the layoff, where it was like 10 months. Mm-hmm. You know, coming off the hand surgery, I'd have to say he shined the most to me. And Michaela Mayer, I thought she was phenomenal, at least the first six rounds of that fight. I mean, she was wiping Sandy Ryan pretty good. And then Ryan made a fight of it kind of in the last three rounds, I thought. Maybe, well, you know, the 7, 8, 9, the 10th round Mayer won. But, you know, but Brian Norman, to me, he definitely stands out as the guy that shined to me.
Okay.
The most disappointing to me, surprisingly, Shushu Carrington in a win. I didn't think he looked good in that win. I thought he made a lot of mistakes in that fight. This is a guy from my city, a guy that I like tremendously. He's the home team. And, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. And, if you know, he's looking to fight for a world title. I don't think him making those mistakes in a world title fight would not look good for him.
But if he was a guy making a march towards a world title, there'd be noise when he fights. There's no noise when he fights, bro.
I mean, when he fights here in New York, there's noise. I mean,
there should still be some noise on the internet. He doesn't make noise.
Well, name a fighter that does make noise. There's not many fighters that do make noise.
I guess you're right at this point in time. I take that back. Barry on Boxing was in here, the British hair, Barry Rabbits, last week, and he's down on Ryan Garcia. He's so down on Ryan Garcia, it's terrible. I mean, he just hates Ryan Garcia. He absolutely hates him, of course. I don't hate Devin Haney, but I don't like Devin Haney. I saw some pictures of Devin Haney this week. He's all pumped up on those weights. He thinks that's going to help him?
I mean, he's moving up in weight. He's going to be stronger. I don't know if he's going to pack a more punch or, you know, if that's going to take away from...
What happens when you don't have the greatest chin and you move up in weight, usually?
But his chin is still in question. We don't know. You know, that's one fight and against a guy that, you know, that popped dirty. Pedro, we've had this discussion many times.
Even if he had three arms, he still went down seven times or four times in the seventh round.
And he got up each and every time. He didn't, you know, he didn't quit.
Okay,
you know,
I'll give you.
I mean, if that was Amir Khan, you know, they'd still be counting.
No, Amir Khan is in a class. Amir Khan is in a class by himself. He is. I mean,
he had no chin.
What?
He had no chin.
Not only did he not have a chin. He had some beautiful form, man. I mean, I watched him as an amateur, and I watched him as a young pro. I mean, here was a guy that had all. I mean, he looked like poetry in motion.
Yeah, at one point, and you know, I should be struck by lightning, was that I thought Khan would give Floyd Mayweather a good shot, because I thought Khan had extremely fast hands and I thought he was a good boxer. But, you know, I obviously don't know what I'm talking about if I actually said that. But, you know, his chin is in question. Defensively, I thought he made a lot of mistakes too as he fought on. You know, the fight against Danny Garcia, he was whipping Danny Garcia the first three, maybe four rounds. And then once Danny Garcia landed, that was it for him.
Okay. The overweight former featherweight, now campaigning as a heavyweight, Richard Torres. Was Richard Torres a featherweight about 6 months ago?
No, you're probably thinking of another Richard Torres.
Must be another Richard Torres.
Torres you're talking about is the guy you may watch on that cable TV, that porn channel, right? No.
No, don't you get. You know what? My producer said you better lay off the porn thing. That's my. He just looked at me and said, "You better Tommy D to back down off that porn thing." You know, I mean, seriously, Tommy D. I punched in Tommy D television. You saw what came up. Anyway, Richard Torres, is Guido Vianello going to beat him? Somebody said that Guido can fight.
I'm going to pick Guido to beat him. That's going to be a good fight. I think that's going to be a really good test for Richard Torres as well. Guido can fight. You know, I don't know if he has the best of chins, but, you know, I think he's going to give him a good fight. I think this is going to be Torres' first real fight in a very, very long time, probably since the Olympics. I'm going to pick Guido for the upset. I think they're fighting, I believe it's next week or in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's April 5th or the 12th.
April 5th.
Yeah. April 5th, yeah. So I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to take Guido over your guy because I know Richard Torres is your guy.
Oh, without a doubt, I'm the president of Richard Torres fan club. Keith Thurman, was that a big win for him beating Brock Jarvis, or was that a setup?
I don't think it was a big win. It could be a little bit of a setup. I mean, it's good to see him. You know, he takes a little fight like that before he gets in the ring with a guy. You know, I mean,
he's going to do the Tim Zoo thing, bro. That's what they're setting up.
That's a good fight. That's a good fight. That's a good fight for both guys.
Man, poor Tim Zoo, man. Tim Zoo, if Tim Zoo had Pedro Fernandez as his manager, he'd be undefeated right now.
Yeah, I know.
I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, that was an injustice.
Bad corner, and then what did they do? They pick an impeccable foe the next time, a guy that's, whoa. I mean, that guy stomped Tim's ass.
He almost committed a crime scene in that fight.
Yeah, that was a little ugly. Speaking of boxing in New York City, the card with Lamont Roach and Gervonta Davis, it drew well at Barclays Center, didn't it?
It did well. They said it sold out. It did better than what I thought. I didn't think it would sell out. I'm not sure if those numbers are accurate because they're known to giving away tickets in the parking lot before the fights, but, you know, in front of the arena. But at the end of the day, they said they sold out. It was a packed house. You know, I didn't think it would do well. Nobody really knew much of Lamont Roach. So
I remember one time a promoter said to me, he goes, "Listen, man, things are really bad." He goes, "Go give these tickets away, right?" So I went down and I sold them all.
You sold them all?
Oh, yeah. I'm a scalper, bro. I scalped Elvis Presley's last concert in 77. I was a kid, 17 years old, 18 years. I scalped his. I had one ticket left for Elvis Presley. Some lady said, "I'll give you $200 for it." I said, "Fine, I don't need to see the dude."
Wow.
You know, but no, scalping is how, that's how I got through. I sold newspapers, but that's how I got through high school and college to an extent, scalping. Scalping was pretty cool for me. Anyway, bottom line is, not a whole lot of boxing coming up. The Crawford fight, take that back. Let's talk about Canelo before we before we take a break. Of course, Canelo is taking on William Skull. Does Skull bring anything to the dance besides an undefeated record?
I think he's got some decent skill. I think he's technical, but I don't think he has any pop, and he's not going to earn, you know, Canelo's respect. And I think Canelo eventually gets him out of there, you know, or punishes him to where, you know, he does the, you know, the Charlo.
Will Mexicans ever get tired of this act? I mean, it's a bit of a fraud at this point in time. Will they get tired of it?
I think they're getting tired of it now. I think he's losing the fan base as right now. You know, taking his fight against Skull, and then you know, he got the Terrence Crawford fight in September.
So he's getting some Skull. Then he gets a welterweight.
He's getting some Skull.
Okay. Well, Tommy D, we wish you the very best of luck on all of your internet platforms, whichever they may be. And we thank you so much. We didn't play that clip today because we didn't want to hurt your feelings.
I appreciate that, Basil. You're the best.
I love you, man. Hey, I love you like a son. Just hug your wife. Hug the family. We'll talk real soon, man.
You got it, Basil. Take care.
We're honored to have the great Sir Thomas Dillamuth on Ring Talk Live Worldwide Sunday. He is the shot caller, per se. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk.
Thank you. Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with need to sell my home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Notorious B.I.G. If ever there was a rap guy I thought was okay, it was him. No doubt about that. He was different. No doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Bobby Chez fundraiser event, of course, organized by Matt Palmara. That's happening later today, of course. Bobby Chez being the former cruiserweight champion at one point in time, I think, or was it cruiserweight or light heavyweight? Bottom line is he had a couple of titles, but at the end of the day, he was one of the last matinee idols here in the U.S. Of course, he was part of that Tomorrow's Champions on NBC. And, you know, I mean, he had a good run as far as a fighter's concerned because he didn't have all the greatest skills in the world, but he had a good run because of his complexion and his connections, of course. And then when he retired, he got a good gig with Showtime. And what happened, he pissed that away by getting drunk. I mean, he had an alcoholic problem. He got busted for 2 DUIs in a few months. Showtime cut him loose. I would have cut him loose too. But the bottom line is, Showtime was paying him like 10 grand, 10 grand to show up. Come on, man. I could stay sober for 10 grand, couldn't you? 10 grand twice a month? Plus expenses, first-class flights, a whole nine yards. Come on, man. Bobby Chez pissed that away. March 31st, 1889, World Featherweight Champion. A World Featherweight title fight between Irish Ike Ware and New Zealand's Frank Murphy took place in Kowloon, Indiana. It was the longest world title bout under Marcus of Queensbury rules. That means with gloves on. It went 80 rounds, and it was ruled a draw. Kind of, oh, man, talk about that. I don't even want to. Anyway, March 31st, 1984, Wilfredo Gomez wins the WBC Featherweight Championship. Of course, that was a bit of a ruse, I thought. I'm pointing Juan Laporte and San Juan, Puerto Rico. Of course, both guys being Puerto Rican, but Gomez being the Puerto Rican icon. Of course, the best fighter at 122 in the history of the sport. No doubt about that. I mean, pound for pound, Wilfredo was a monster. But then again, he was a bit of a weight bully because he weighed in at 122. He was much bigger. Of course, he got his comeuppance against Salvador Sanchez when he went as a 2.5 or 3-1 underdog, I guess in 1982, I believe it was. And of course, he got lit up in the first round, got his face broken, got a couple of bones broken in his face. And of course, he fought on, but the bottom line is Sanchez was too much for him. Sanchez was the best fighter I think I've ever seen in the history of boxing. People say, who's the best you ever seen? I think it was Sanchez and Duran. Duran, the best pound for pound, and Sanchez, one of the greatest boxers I've ever seen in my life. Straight up, this is hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We'll come back with hour number two after the news. We'll go into some history. We'll do some results. We'll talk about some upcoming fights. That and more on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and the Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, is working absolutely perfectly today. I can't believe it. The audio is perfect. The picture is perfect. I mean, good Lord, am I going to jinx it and say something stupid? No, I'm not. Bottom line is stay tuned after the news here on Sports Byline for another hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Broadcast Studios in San Francisco, California.
Sports Shorts, I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. NCAA Tournament March Madness action continues with the Elite Eight set. Michigan State will face off Auburn. Auburn defeated Michigan 78-65, ruining a Michigan-Michigan State matchup. Michigan State defeated Ole Miss 73-70. Texas Tech and Florida are set to face off after the Raiders defeated Arkansas 85-83. The Gators defeated Maryland 87-71. Duke will battle it out against Alabama. The Crimson Tide defeated BYU 113-88 in a big W. Duke defeated Arizona 193. In a close game, Houston comes out on top against Purdue 62-60. Houston will now move on to play Tennessee, who defeated Kentucky 78-65. Women's college basketball Sweet 16 action is still underway. LSU defeated NC State 80-73. Ole Miss lost to UCLA. UCLA takes it 76-62. South Carolina wins over Maryland 71-67. And Duke wins over UNC 47-38. Breaking news out of college football action as Deion Sanders and the University of Colorado Boulder extends his contract as head coach through the 2029 season. Sanders will now be one of the highest paid coaches in the country, earning $54 million over 5 years. To stay up to date on all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I am Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. Just 3 months ago, it was reported by many media outlets and by this corner too that NBA ratings were down significantly versus last year, and that was true. But many of those same outlets doubled down, as they usually do, by again predicting the demise of the NBA, with causes aplenty. From social and political stances the league has or hasn't taken, to a game that analytics say should be 3-point driven with 2-point buckets an afterthought. Whether or not you agree with those reasons, the bottom line is ratings have now risen to be on par with last season as the NBA and NHL have their annual post-Super Bowl rally. Disney, NBC, and Amazon rarely make miscalculations when writing big checks. In the 11-year, $76 billion TV contract the league agreed to last summer with those partners is further evidence of the strength of the circuit. During my daytime office job, if I'm on the phone with a call center that I know is halfway around the world, I'll often engage with a person on the other end while trying to solve whatever problem I'm having, and I'll ask the customer service rep if they're a sports fan, and the last three calls in 2 weeks were an enthusiastic yes. I always expect an answer of maybe soccer or cricket, but when I asked their favorite sports, all three ironically said the exact same thing, the NFL and the NBA, and not all three put them in that order. And my sample size may be small, but I don't think it's wrong. For those old enough to remember, there was a much talked about Sports Illustrated cover in 1994, why the NHL is hot and the NBA is not. Another cry about thugs and punks surfaced in 2004 after the Malice at the Palace brawl in Motown, and we heard the cry again this winter with the NHL's Four Nations success versus the NBA All-Star weekend. Despite the many one-step backs the league has taken, the two steps forward helps them achieve their number two status with a bullet. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best? What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Sunday, March 31st. Take that back, March 30th, 2025. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am ever so modest, host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning boxer. Right? So I went to school for journalism. I know what I'm talking about as far as writing about journalism, boxing is concerned. And, of course, that's what I did for a long time. Two-time North American Boxing Writer of the Year. I can go on and on. But the bottom line is, let's talk Ring Talk. Of course, now, in the world of heavyweight boxing right now, we have a champion named Oleg Usyk. Not a whole lot of people care about him. People say he's an all-time great, this and that, pound for pound, he's the best fighter in the world, all this kind of good stuff. But he doesn't do anything for me. So as far as the heavyweight is concerned, I'm waiting for somebody else to emerge. Maybe Daniel Dubois can beat him. I don't know. Bottom line is, we'll see what happens if they ever do engage in a rematch. Now, we're talking heavyweights later today. It'll be a big, long segment on George Foreman. That's right, George Foreman, the former world heavyweight champion, died a week ago this past Friday. Of course, he... my buddy, I call him my broadcast partner because anytime I did any radio or TV with him, he was just like the guy. I mean, he just was. I mean, he went all out for me. He did. I remember one time he said, we were going to do something for on FNN TV. We'll maybe play the interview a bit later. Of course, he was talking about wanting Tyson and Holyfield. You bunch of bums. This and that. But he told me before we went on, he goes, we got to make this good. We got to make this good. I said, okay, okay, okay. And then during the interview, you hear him say, I did okay, dude. Anyway, bottom line is, George was a character, no doubt about that. May he rest in peace, of course. The most misunderstood man in the entire world, of course, in the early stages of his boxing career because he was a creep. I mean, I can't say no more. I mean, put it this way, if your little old lady was walking across the street, George would run her over in a car in the crosswalk if he had a chance. That's how mean George Foreman was. I kid you not. But then again, 1977, the Jimmy Young fight said he saw God. Maybe he did, because he really changed his life. He went from one guy to another, 180-degree turn, a true metamorphosis in spirit and life. I'm talking about George Foreman, from the street urchin, the mean guy, the Sonny Liston wannabe, of course, to the preacher man, the guy selling the grills and all that kind of good stuff. Somebody told me that Hulk Hogan had a chance at those grills. I don't think so. I thought George discovered those grills. I thought that was George's invention himself, because his brother told me, Roy Foreman says, it's only a piece of steel with a cord on it. I said, okay, bottom line is it made him $140 million. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. The impeccable one, Baby Peck, is in the house. As you know, nothing's going wrong. That's why he's here.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription. And we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
When you switch to Progressive and bundle your home and auto, you could save hundreds, and that's a surprising amount of money.
Whoa, that's like farmer's market money.
That's like, give me a gallon of that locally sourced raw honey money.
That's certified organic heirloom tomatoes in every imaginable color except red money.
That's, let's get 2 pounds of pink oyster mushrooms money. I'm not even sure I like pink oyster mushrooms.
Guess it's time to find out, because you could save hundreds when you switch to Progressive and bundle. Then the world is your pink oyster mushroom. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, where do you hurt?
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong.
Looking back, of course, at the Foreman saga. George Foreman started his boxing career here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, back in 1967, became an amateur fighting out of the Job Corps in Newark, California. Newark's about 45 or 50 miles from the city across the bay near the, it's in the East Bay. But the bottom line is George Foreman was transported daily to Newman's Gym in a van to Newman's Gym, and then he began boxing. Of course, the sparring was real primitive at first. Before you knew it, he was the Golden Glove champion here in San Francisco, and then he won the Olympics. But the bottom line is when he lost his title, Jack Fitz, San Francisco Chronicle godfather, of course, the godfather of boxing writers, Hall of Famer, no doubt about that, 40 years, wrote a column. This is his column on George Foreman losing the title to Shannon Briggs. This was, of course, in the edition of Flash Magazine. Flash Magazine edition, I think it's edition 65. Bottom line is, it's disgraceful what they did to George Foreman in Atlantic City the other night. Three myopic ring judges with scratches on their scorecards sent one of the boxing's most storied fighters in ring history into retirement on a losing note. No need for sentiment here. No leaning backwards over to hand to George Foreman an extra decision, nothing like that. Bottom line is, a defensive mind in Shannon Briggs really didn't win the fight in the matter of Jack Fitz. Of course, at the end of the night, he did win the fight. Of course, in 2 years from now, Jack Fitz wrote that nobody would know who basically Shannon Briggs was. And he's right, because nobody knows who Shannon Briggs really is unless he does something stupid on YouTube and pops off and shows up at a press conference or something like that. But outside of that, Shannon Briggs was a waste of time and a waste of money. I'll never forget his manager, this Jewish guy. I can't remember his name, but he was a guy in New Jersey, and he had Shannon swimming at the Jewish club in Atlantic City, and somehow that didn't go over too well with the people that were staying there, the other residents of the pool. But the bottom line is, he stayed there and he swam, so I guess it was a little discrimination back in the day. But same magazine, Flash Magazine, edition number 222. The odds of Herb Lambeck. Herb Lambeck, of course, was the famed odds maker out of Herbie's. He was a famed odds maker out of Las Vegas, of course, downtown. And he was a man that Herbie Hoops Lambeck, he made his name doing basketball. Anytime you can handicap basketball and get it right, I mean, how can you say that there's being 202 points are going to be scored, something like that, and have it right more often than wrong? But the bottom line is, Herbie was a genius when it came to both boxing and basketball. But here is Herbie on Keith Holmes versus Paul Vadim. Be advised to take a long nap before viewing the clash for Jose's middleweight belt. In other words, Jose Suleiman, the WBC belt. He's talking about Keith Holmes and Paul Vadim being a boring fighter, okay? Then we go up to Terry Norris and Keith Mullings. Mullings rewarded for outstanding performance against Raul Marquez. Keith, the first breathing opponent Norris has faced since signing with Top Rank. Terry, scheduled to face Oscar De La Hoya next year, should win inside the distance. Raul Marquez and Yori Boy Campos, of course, remember those guys? Man, Raul Marquez, of course, still a broadcaster, per se, and he was former IBF junior middleweight champion, a guy that he and I got together and had some fun together at the Imperial Palace Hotel in Las Vegas when I was running that joint back in the 90s. No doubt about that. Raul was took advantage of that, no doubt about it. He had a great time. Anyway, Harold Graham and Vinny Pazienza, those two guys, of course, Vinny Pazienza having his issues as far as his health was concerned, but he seemed to have straightened himself out. Harold Graham was a guy that never won a title. People thought he was the best British fighter to never win a title. I saw Roberto Duran at 33, 34 years old kicking his ass down there in Palm Springs, and there wasn't nothing Mickey Duff or Harold Graham could do about it, sparring partner or not. But the bottom line is, Harold Graham was a stylish southpaw. Vincent Phillips and Freddie Pendleton. Freddie Pendleton, of course, a journeyman fighter, a guy that won the IBF junior lightweight title. Take that back, the IBF lightweight title at one point in time, but Freddie was just like the guy that everybody went to for tough fights. He won a few, but the bottom line is, Vince Phillips was a guy that, a 1988 Olympian, of course, one of the good, solid guys on the Olympic team, but he got involved with crack. Him and Kennedy McKinney both got involved with crack. That was a bad downfall of the 88 team. Of course, Henry Akawandi, remember him? I don't. I really do. Him and Orlin Norris, that was a pick 'em fight. Johnny Tapia. We talked about Johnny Tapia a little bit earlier in the show, of course, when he let that clip about what he does before fights, and Johnny Tapia, the split personality was. He was taking on Andy Agosti, who was a 10-1 favorite. Chris Bird taking on Jimmy Thunder, that was a 10-1 fight. Of course, Bird was the heavyweight version of Pernell Whitaker. That's according to Herbie Lambeck. Thunder never wins the big ones. Yeah, he does once in a while. I think he scores the fastest knockout in boxing history. He knocked somebody out like in one round. And speaking of Junior Jones, I was with his manager this past Wednesday. Of course, I was in Los Angeles with Larry Murch. We had a big dinner, a big lunch. I'll get to that in just a second. But Junior Jones was a Kennedy versus Kenny McKinney, a 4-1 favorite. And Nassim Ahmed, a 13-5 favorite over Kevin Kelly. Of course, those are the odds makers, the odds from Herb Lampick and Flash Magazine, issue 222, November 30th, 1997. Of course, and one of the headlines here is that Prince Nassim Ahmed was taking on, of course, Kevin Kelly. Prince Nassim Ahmed, the guy that got blitzed by Marco Antonio Barrera. There's just no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about the luncheon we had this past Wednesday. So I pull into Los Angeles after like a 5.5-hour drive from San Francisco to Los Angeles, right? And I pull into the Godfather's area. He's got valet parking, all that kind of good stuff. They'll valet park my car. I don't want people valet parking my car. So I just parked on the street, put a couple bucks in the meter, the whole nine yards, went upstairs. And as I was going upstairs, he was coming downstairs. So it was like weird. He was going up, I was coming down. We met downstairs. We walked to the restaurant. Of course, we had a good time at the restaurant. Gary Gidlison was there. Another writer was there, a movie maker. I can't remember his name right now. And of course, man, I mean, when you get the Godfather together and you get him rolling, and he's 94 years old, whether you think he's slow or not, he's not. I mean, he's unbelievably quick for his age. Actually, for any age, he's just pretty quick. I mean, he just rolled off things off the top of his tongue like you just couldn't believe it. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And of course, and he was there, and Gidlison, the former manager, Junior Jones, of course, he was there as well. And, you know, when you look at the entire picture, he's 94 years old now. He took me out for a walk afterwards, went for a 2-mile walk. I was blown away by that 2-mile walk because, you know, I didn't have much for lunch. I had a Caesar salad. But the bottom line is we were at a restaurant where it wasn't Burger King per se, but you had to pay a king's ransom to eat there. I kid you not. It's like they wanted $40 for farm salmon. $40 for farm salmon. So I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't push myself to do that. I couldn't spend $40 on that. But at the end of the day, we all had a good time. And Larry, of course, is going to be with Logan Hobson. Logan Hobson, the former CompuBox co-owner, and of course, a stand-up comedian of note down there in Los Angeles. But he and Larry are going to have lunch on Monday. So Larry's keeping active, no doubt about that. I expect to go down there in another couple weeks. Every couple weeks, I think I'm going to make the trek from Northern California to Southern California to see the retired HBO Godfather because he is 94 years old. I mean, he's 94. There's no doubt about it. You know, 94. He says he wants to live to 100. He said, but after 100, you can just cut it off. He said, once I get to 100, just throw me overboard. I said, what do you mean just throw you overboard? I don't want to live past 100. So he wants to live to 100. Of course, his wife passed away a fortnight ago. I'm talking about Patricia Sismerchen, the godmama. May she rest in peace. That was pretty sad to go down there and spend time in the house without her being there. That was really weird. You know how weird that was to walk into a house and somebody's not there anymore, of course. And the last time I was down there, of course, I cried when I left. And actually, the last two times I was down there, I cried when I left. One time I got to the elevator. The other time I didn't get to the elevator. But the bottom line is, you know, the godmama, may she rest in peace. She's not suffering. She's not hurting anymore. So I mean, you know, I think that's a better word for her. Speaking of women, last night, let's go to a break here. Mikaela Meyer was the winner over Sandy Ryan, a 10-round unanimous knockout for the WBA 147-pound belt. She considers herself a very good fighter. Everybody else considers her a very good fighter. But Mikaela Meyer, I don't know. Is she a Christy Martin type of star? Can she step out and really make some money in the world of boxing? I just don't know. Can we go to an early break? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, Poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boxing fans, the time, 1 minute, 37 seconds of the fifth round. Referee Chris Jordan calls a halt to this contest. The winner by technical knockout for his 61st win in 63 pro bouts. On his way to another world title, Reverend George Foreman.
JB showing a little spring in his step. Even after that pounding, we're going to send you up inside the ring right now with Pedro Fernandez and the victorious George Foreman, win number 61.
How do you feel, George?
Feel really good. It gets kind of boring after a while, all these guys get in the ring with you, and they ask for so much money, and all they do is run from you. That's a photo of what you're going to look for in the future, Mike Tyson running from George Foreman in the same fashion. I guarantee you, if Mike Tyson does not run from me in that same fashion, I'll eat my hat.
You'll eat your hat. Yeah. What about Tyrell Biggs? They talk about you fighting him. They said there'll be an offer on the table for that fight.
Yeah, I think I'd like that fight. Tyrell Biggs, a wonderful fella. And in him, the people will get a chance to see another bigger man run. Okay. And all these fellas train to run. And it's a shame because people pay expensive tickets to see these fellas fight. And all they do is run.
So if we want to see a track meet, we'll go watch Carl Lewis.
That's right. I'm dissatisfied with these fellas fighting on television, running like jackrabbits. I want Mike Tyson, and I dare him. I tell him he better not run from me, because I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
You're good enough.
I mean it.
George, when will you fight again?
Huh?
When will you fight again?
I hope to be fighting again by the 1st of June.
We want Tyson!
Well, the crowd yelling, we want Tyson.
Come on,
George wants Tyson.
Want Tyson.
Right now,
we
I want
Tyson.
You. Let's go back to you, LA ringside.
It's turning to bedlam here at the Moody Center as George Foreman pretty much putting it on the table. The crowd loving it.
April 30th, 1989. Hugh Millay and myself in Galveston, Texas. One of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in here in the United States. No doubt about that. That place was really beautiful. No doubt about that. At the end of the day, though, George was George. And, of course, he talked to me about being, you know, a San Francisco Golden Glove champion. I thought that was really, really cool. When I mentioned that to him, and, of course, he brought it up a couple of times afterwards, he would see me and he would click. And he would look at me and he goes, we won the Golden Gloves together. Well, we didn't win the Golden Gloves together, George. You, like, won it, like, long before I did. But the bottom line is we both won the Golden Gloves here in San Francisco. No doubt about that. Some of the results over the weekend, Melvin Jerusalem defeated Yudai Chigaga. Of course, that was unanimous. Now, Luis Alberto Lopez defeats Edward Montoya. That was in the first round. Of course, that was Lopez, the guy that had the brain beat the last time out. Why is he still fighting? I have no idea. William Zepeda, of course, defeated Tevin Farmer. That was a majority nod. Some people thought that, including Tommy D, that Tevin Farmer won the last six rounds of the fight. But when you sweep rounds against a WBC champion that's Mexican, good luck. It was a majority nod. One judge had it 116, 112. One judge had it 115, 113. The other judge had it 114, 114. Even so, it was a majority decision. If it would have been a split decision, one judge would have went the other way. That's what a split decision. A split decision means that one judge voted for one guy and two judges voted for the other guy. Okay. A majority decision means one judge went even and the other two judges went for another guy. So bottom line is Zepeda winning a majority decision last night in defense, or take that back, for the WBC interim title. Now, I want to bring the interim title up because I'm also bringing up the fact that I'm holding up this diploma here, or the certificate. It's from the Association of Boxing Commissions, and it says, Pedro Fernandez has successfully completed an ABC-approved training seminar for boxing judges. I took this in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Okay, but the bottom line is, I took this exam, per se. I think I took it four or five different years when I was in the WBO and the WBC, different conventions. So anyway, bottom line is, where is the Association of Boxing Commissions today? I mean, does it even exist? I mean, I don't know, because they aren't doing anything. I mean, when it first came into play, I think it was 1996, they call it the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act. Of course, there was Senator John McCain out of Arizona. He was trying to put together this act to protect boxers, professional boxers, and the money that they made. But the bottom line is, he didn't know about Harry Reid. Harry Reid was a Democratic senator out of Las Vegas, of course, very powerful in the Democratic Party, a big power player in the party before he retired and then died. But the bottom line is, he was the go-to guy. And he was Bob Arum's guy, per se, in Nevada. So what he did was, he stripped all the power out of this Muhammad Ali boxing act, all the enforcement, per se. I mean, there should have been an attorney general enforcing laws on that, but guess what? There wasn't. I mean, I pull up fixed fights, report fixed fights to the Association of Boxing Commissions. Nothing ever got done. I never understood what their purpose was. And now, I don't think they even exist. I mean, not even slightly. So straight up, I have no idea. Anybody have any idea what's going on with the ABC? You can Twitch me here or hit me up on the Twitch thing. Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, of course. Got the chat thing going on. Speaking of the chat, well, Marky Dan, the historian, says, oh, boy, he's blah, 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 blah. Richard Torres is going to beat Guido to death. You know, maybe, but I don't think much of Richard Torres. I think Richard Torres should find another job. Maybe like a caddy, or maybe he could park cars. Maybe he could park cars, because I don't think Richard Torres can fight. But maybe we can just agree to disagree on that one, Mark. In fact, we can bet a soda on that one. I'll bet a soda. I'll take Guido. You can take Richard Torres. Whoever wins gives a soda. Take that back. Gives a dollar to a homeless guy. Get him. Let's make it $5. Gives $5 to a homeless guy. How about that? That's the way we should do bets on this show. We lose a bet, we don't have to pay. We don't have to pay the guy, per se, that we're losing to. We just go out and donate some money to the homeless. And I'm sure anywhere here in the United States you can find homeless people. In fact, I've got a bag full of food over here right now that I'm going to bring to Joe around the corner. Who's Joe? Joe's brother and sister went to high school with me. And about 10 years ago, I found Joe in front of the old studios down here on Vallejo Street. We used to be at 106 Vallejo, the studios right here that we record in now. Used to be down there. And I didn't see Joe when I was down there working that end of the studio. But then we moved up here. And then a couple years later, I was taking a walk between shows. And there he was. And from that point forward, I feel compelled to want to feed him. I mean, I didn't know, and I had no idea who he was. And he turned out to be a guy that I went to high school with. I went to school with both his brother and his sister. So I went to school with his brother and his sister. What a small world. He's still homeless. He's been homeless 10 years. And he doesn't seem to be affected by the environment. I mean, at one point in time, it was almost snowing here in San Francisco, and the guy's down there on the street. When it's raining, he's got an umbrella. He just improvises. At the end of the day, it just absolutely blew my mind that he can do that. Now, let's look at some of the stuff here as far as the Shushu still isn't impressive. Didn't improve nothing to me at last night. All those champs of 126 have already been tested. Yeah, I don't like Ryan Garcia at all. Says 215-91-215-191. Anyway, bottom line is, I don't like Ryan Garcia at all. Devin's chin looked great to me. Really? Really think so? Devin's got a glass chin. Listen, Devin can't punch and he can't take a punch. Therefore, what value does he have as a professional fighter? I think none. I think the fact that he's a YouTube phenomenon and some of the guys like him, he's got a fan club of three black guys and his father. That's about it. And his father is really probably the real reason he's in the position he's in, because his father mouthed him into the positions where he's at. I mean, Devin doesn't talk a good game. He doesn't talk a good game. He doesn't really fight a good game. He isn't exciting. What does he do? I mean, that's what I, what, sort of like Kim Kardashian when Barbara Walters asked her, what do you do? And I asked Devin Haney, what do you do? You don't knock anybody out. You don't make fights definitive endings. Bottom line is, what do you do? And of course, you try to get that fight with Ryan Garcia taken off YouTube. That's what really kicked my ass on you, is when you try to get, you try to erase history. You try to, oh, well, you know, he was on something. Well, whatever he was on, I don't think it was enough to have any determining factor in the fight. Of course, experts feel that I'm wrong, and they suspended him for a year. But the bottom line is, when he comes back and he ends up fighting Devin Haney again, expect the same thing. I mean, with no doubt about that. Of course, Ryan Garcia the other day was talking about fighting, wanting to fight Gervonta Davis. Says Davis can move up to 147. Evidently, Ryan's not fighting anybody under welterweight, and more power to him because he can call the shots now. I mean, he's a guy, I know that he got suspended. He was off a year, this and that, but he's still an impeccable, I take it back, impeccable, that's the word it is. He's still a dramatic star when it comes to the world of boxing. He still draws. He draws people. I mean, he sells tickets. Not a whole lot of guys sell tickets. Who else sells tickets? Mikel Amari doesn't sell the kind of tickets Ryan Garcia does. I mean, Ryan Garcia is going to do this outdoor thing with Raleigh Romero May the 2nd. Of course, it's going to be in Times Square in New York City. Of course, they expect like, you know, 50,000 people outdoors. I don't know what they're going to expect, but the bottom line is that's going to be one hell of an event, right? But at the end of the day, is boxing really a sport that's going to survive in New York City because of the fact that Shushu Carrington hasn't looked that good? I mean, who is there in New York City that really stands out? Not a whole lot of guys. Anyway, I'm still reeling over the fact that Luis Alberto Lopez returned with a first-round knockout last night after a brain beating those last 5 minutes. What the hell were they thinking? Think about that. What the hell were they thinking? Let's take a look at the CompuBox stats as far as the Williams-Zepeda fight is concerned. Well, you know, I've never been a big guy that's thought a whole lot as far as these CompuBox numbers are concerned, okay? But the bottom line is, as far as body punches were landed, Zepeda went 130 for 974, and Farmer went 152 for 679. So Zepeda threw a whole lot of more punches, and there was no the total punches. Total punches landed to the body and the head. Of course, the jabs, you know, Zepeda's going to stand out there in the jabs. You would think so. The other guy would have stood out. But Farmer just, I tell you, he laid against the ropes too much. I don't care what Tommy D says. He just laid against the ropes too much. You can't lay against the ropes like that and expect to win a fight, especially in a WBC title fight. We beat Canelo against a Mexican champion. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm going to say it again. Why is there an IBF or a WBC champion, Shakur Stevenson, and not having... I mean, how many champions do you need at 135? I thought we were going to settle this up. We're going to get this straight. But no, the Suleiman regime of the World Boxing Council, the WBC Canelo, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, World of Bunko and Chicanery, they're calling their own shots down there. There is no media anymore. I mean, I know I was with Steve Kim the other day. He was part of the dinner, the luncheon event we had with Larry Merchant last Wednesday in Santa Monica. And, you know, he and Doug Fisher are probably the only two guys left that really are boxing journalists per se. And those guys get, you know, they get barred from events and they get thrown out of events. And this is a badge of honor. I mean, when guys don't want to give you press credentials, when promoters don't want to give you press credentials, that says something about your integrity to an extent. It just does. It says something about you, okay? That's a badge of honor. When Aram didn't want to give me a press credential for a while, what did I do? I sued him and made some money out of that one. But he ended up giving me a credential after that. But, you know, who cares? I mean, at one point in time, Las Vegas was so cool to go to. I mean, each fight was a big event. De La Hoya, Tyson, I can go on and on. But now, De La Hoya and Tyson, of course, they're no longer around, and boxing's over in Saudi Arabia. Of course, Saudi Arabia going live May the 3rd. Of course, Canelo Alvarez and William Skull. William Skull, an undefeated lad. He doesn't bring too much to the dance except for that undefeated record. And the fact that his name is Skull, because that means Canelo's going to be getting some Skull. But outside of that, no big thing May the 3rd. Of course, May the 2nd, it'll be in Times Square. May the 3rd, it'll be from Saudi Arabia. And May the 4th, and no one knows is going to do his thing in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Wow, what a weekend of boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt. Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory eight count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. Two knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
George Foreman, great day. Of course, ascension to the World Heavyweight Championship in 1968. Golden Gloves champion here in San Francisco. Won the 68 Olympic gold medal down in Mexico City. And, of course, the heavyweight championship of the world by slaughtering Joe Frazier, of course. Joe Frazier had a chance to do a rematch with Muhammad Ali for like 10 times the money he made for George Foreman. He didn't want Ali making the money. He said no. And, of course, that cost him his title and a whole lot of money, no doubt about that. Now, I want to mention some of the history coming in here from my man, Frank, 1961. Gil Clancy. Where's the Gil Clancy one? Gil Clancy passed away March 31st, 2011. Trainer and sports fanster Gil Clancy. Speaking of Gil Clancy, listen, Oscar De La Hoya was involved in a bit of a controversy. They fired Emmanuel Stewart and they brought in Gil Clancy at Keyshawn. Let me tell you what Emmanuel had to say, okay? Initially, Emmanuel Stewart, one of the most respected trainers in international boxing, was taking the diplomatic route regarding his sudden dismissal as Oscar De La Hoya's chief trainer. Now it appears all gloves are off. According to Emmanuel, quote, I'm steaming because of a pack of lies that are being stirred and they're detrimental to my reputation and my career. The worst is Team De La Hoya and Bob Arum making accusations that I invited Oscar to Las Vegas when I did the TV on the Holyfield Moore fight to meet with Don King. Nothing could be further than the truth. I didn't even see King the day of the fight. I know Oscar didn't ask to. I know Oscar didn't talk to him. Anyway, bottom line is they went back and forth. Of course, Gil Clancy was then brought in as a trainer. Gil Clancy, of course, not much of a trainer in my mind. Gil was the guy that kept telling him against Trinidad, keep doing what you're doing, everything's cool. And bottom line is he wasn't doing very much against Trinidad in the last half of the fight. I'm talking about Oscar De La Hoya except runs. But De La Hoya had both Emmanuel Stewart and Gil Clancy. And of course, I think Robert Alcazar was his chief trainer. He was the guy that sort of was with Oscar in the amateurs and was with Oscar for most of his fights, if not all of his fights. Of course, Alcazar, the guy that, when I saw Oscar in the gym, I had to be like 1990. And I saw him in the gym kicking guys' ass, professional fighters with 35 and 45. So I said to myself, good God, this is the next Alexis Arguello, because he was built like Arguello, but with Ray Leonard-like reflexes. I mean, he was as fast. He hit as hard through combinations like Sugar Ray Leonard. I kid you not. I thought I was seeing the next coming of a boxing god. Maybe I was, because, you know, he won the Olympic gold medal. I mean, there was no question about that. He won that probably with ease. Went on and won titles at 130, 135. And never fought some suspect guys maybe at 140 when he fought on Chavez the first time. The first fight with Chavez. Chavez came into that fight with a big headbutt cut in the center of his head. What happened was his kid headbutted him about 3 or 4 days before the fight, and they weren't going to cancel at that point in time because that was a closed-circuit television fight. That wasn't a pay-per-view fight. That was closed-circuit. June 6, 1994 and 1996, I can't remember, maybe 1996, it was a closed-circuit fight because Showtime had one fighter, had Chavez, and then De La Hoya was with HBO, so they couldn't flip a coin, couldn't figure out who was going to distribute the fight. They didn't want to do it together, so they did it on closed-circuit television. That meant we had it at different theaters. Of course, that was the money boom that I had when I put that on down there in San Bruno, California. I rented out the entire Tanforan Theater. Tanforan was a shopping center there in San Bruno. I rented out the entire theater. I think we had 6 screens or 4 screens. Anyway, every screen but one was in Spanish. I had one screen in English. Outside of that, I was sold out a week in advance. I was freaking out, and I didn't buy pay-per-view insurance. And of course, I was freaking out because of the fact that if the signal went dead, I was in trouble, right? I mean, I would have had to issue refunds, that kind of good stuff. I'm not a guy that gives refunds. In fact, Joe Gilardi, the retired godfather of pay-per-view and closed-circuit TV down there in Las Vegas right now, formerly out of San Jose, California, in the Gilardi Promotions, he told me, listen, if something goes out, something goes down, and you have to give out refunds, tell people who give out refunds the very next, take that back, tell them you give out refunds Monday at noon. I said, what? He goes, Monday at noon? Yes, nobody will show up to get the refunds, so you'll be able to keep most of your money. But the bottom line is, I was freaking out at one point in time, the screen went blank. Imagine that. You've got all this money invested in a pay-per-view in a closed-circuit television broadcast, and the screen went blank. And it only had to go blank for like 30 a tenth of a second, and that was enough to freak you out, because you're saying to yourself, oh my God, I don't want to get refunds, because refunds is not something a promoter wants to give. Looking through some of the rest of this boxing magazine, of course, Flash magazine, Arum claims innocent over Stewart firing. Of course, that's another article related to the Emmanuel Stewart being fired for his Oscar De La Hoya's trainer. But most of this magazine, this issue, was about George Foreman and him getting screwed out of the heavyweight championship. Of course, the Foreman heist, we can go on and on, but the bottom line is it was a heist. And George Foreman lost the title. The scores were 115-113, 116-112, and 117, 113. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. Flash Magazine had it 116, 112 for Foreman. So we had 8 rounds of 4 for Foreman. I thought Foreman won the fight going away. But then again, the judges are the ones that matter. The boxing establishment basically turned on him. There's no doubt about it. They turned on George Foreman that day. I don't know why. Sort of the boxing establishment, and they're an invisible group. They just are. They're an invisible group, but they run the game. No doubt about that still to this day. Talk about some of the writers here. Of course, the publisher of Flash Magazine was Virgil Thrasher. He's down there, still down there in Capitola, California. I believe he was a jazz guitarist, a jazz musician. Bruce Bebb, Eric Botcher, Pedro Fernandez, Jack Fisk, Graham Houston, Joe Kazumi, Jack Welch. I think Kazumi and Jack Fisk are both in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Bruce Williams was covering the sport from across the border. The associate writers were John Beirutti, former writer of the L.A. Examiner, of course, publicist with the L.A. Forum, Don Carnahan, Huey Camps, Freddie Blackburn, George Blair, Windsor Dobbin, Gerardo Fernandez, who and I went back and forth a couple times, Gregory Juggett, Arturo Leconte, Lindy Mandel, Seth Mahaney, Brian Nix, Daniel Cisneros, the U.S. reporters were Michael Blanchard, Tommy Dees, Catherine Dunn, Colin Howard, Dean Lowhouse, of course he was a record keeper, Steve Morrill, the cop out of Gilroy, California, retired policeman, now a WBC judge, and the late Jack Obermeyer. May he rest in peace, man. I really do miss that guy. I mean, he had been to boxing matches in every state in the country. Every state that there's been a boxing match in, KOJ was there. That's what kind of historian he was. Of course, one point in time we were in L.A., and some guy walks up to us and says, listen, man, it's really cold and I need a hotel room. He said to me, hey, man, I live in Philly. He goes, it's cold there in Philly. Johnny wasn't giving up any money. Anyway, bottom line is Teddy Blackburn was our photographer. Tom Hogan is still going on the scene. He's still taking pictures. I kid you not. I saw him at ringside a couple of weeks ago on TV. But the bottom line is Tom Hogan out of Sacramento, California. That's where he got to start with Flash Magazine. Now, of course, he's doing things worldwide. The contributors were Ralph Sitro. Ralph Sitro had his own record book. I kid you not. Ralph Sitro was a cut man and had his own record book out of Detroit. And then Herb Lambeck, the odds maker I mentioned a little bit earlier, Phil Martyr, and of course Peyton Scherer, the great Peyton Scherer. I'll never forget Peyton Scherer. Peyton Scherer was a guy that snuck that midget. Remember there was a midget that played baseball? He was like 3 foot tall. I can't remember what his name was, but he was like 3 foot tall, and he went up to bat, and the guy walked because, you know, the pitcher couldn't get get in the strike zone, right? So because, you know, so anyway, they banned the midget. But the bottom line is Peyton Scherer was the guy that snuck that midget into the stadium that day. And Peyton Scherer was also the guy that told me that a couple of guys, you know, remember Buster Douglas' trainer popped off about me and left a message on Peyton Scherer's answer machine. You tell Pedro when I see him. Don't tell Pedro when I see him in Kansas City. I'm going to kick his ass. I'm going to sucker punch him. So anyway, I went over to him, Buster Douglas' trainer, and I reached over and I grabbed him by the chest and tried to pull him out from this table. It wasn't going over too well. I mean, Joe Cortez was there, and who else was there? It told me he meant real big. I can't think of it right. Oh, Floyd Patterson, the former two-time world heavyweight champion, 1952 Olympic gold medalist. Of course, Floyd was there, and Floyd's the one that got up and stepped out of the way. Floyd stepped out of the way because I reached across the table and was trying to drag this guy out, Buster Douglas' former trainer. Of course, that didn't work out too well for him. Of course, I didn't slap him, but I wanted to slap him at that point in time. I mean, I thought he had it coming. And believe me, he did have it coming. Some of the boxing news going around, of course, at boxingscene.com. Derek Chisora, is he still around? I can't believe they still got him ranked in the top 15. Taking on, he talks about Danny Dubois. Of course, him and Danny Dubois doing business, good business at Wembley Stadium. Nobody wants to see Dubois and Chisora fight. Everybody wants to see Dubois and Usyk go again. Of course, Usyk, the benefactor, he's been a benefactor of a couple of shaky calls in the world of boxing. Brian Norman stopping Derek Cuevas. Of course, that was a bit of a, I was predictable, but the way that Derek Cuevas quit last night, he quit like a dog. I mean, can he go home to his, I'll put it this way, if I quit like that, I couldn't go home. I couldn't show up at the studio next week. I couldn't. I would change my face. I would wear a disguise, like, you know, Floyd Patterson did after the first Sonny Liston loss. He wanted to wear a disguise. He wanted people to know who he was. I mean, I wouldn't wear a disguise. That's how bad Derek Cuevas was. So he quit like a dog. And, of course, Mikel Ohmayr winning the rematch with Sandy Ryan. Although women's boxing still doesn't do for me what it does for other people. It just doesn't. I mean, I keep trying to reach out for it. I keep trying to reach out for it, but it just doesn't do. But the bottom line is they are getting a little slicker, and they're putting nice gloves on these women now. Gloves where the weight is basically on the hand, on the wrist and not on the hand per se. So it opens their hand up for a little bit more punching power, and that's what women need. That's what's lacking in women's boxing is punching power. In fact, you know, somebody said to me last night, Farmer can't punch. That's what it was. I mean, if Tevin Farmer had been able to punch a little bit, I think he would have been able to win that fight. But he couldn't punch. He never stepped forward. You have to step forward in order to take a fight from somebody. I don't think. I mean, even Tommy D said. Even though Tommy D said he was like swept the last five, six, seven, whatever it was. Bottom line is, you can't sweep those rounds and sweep them against the ropes. Boxing back with your back against the ropes, because it isn't enough. You have to impress the judges. You have to go forward. You have to get on that front foot a little bit. And, of course, I don't think that Tevin Farmer ever got on that front foot. Brian Norman, give Brian Norman all the credit in the world. But Derek Cuevas quit like a dog. Mikella Meyer, I'm still not impressed. Last week, of course, George Kambosos was the winner on the zone versus a guy named Dodd Udon, of course. Kambosos, the former lightweight champion, the man that beat Teofimo Lopez but then lost to everybody else. I mean, that was the upset of the... How did he beat Teal and then lose to everybody else? I just can't figure. Bottom line is Kambosos versus somebody at 140. That's what we're trying to put together down there in Australia. And of course, coming up, a guy that needs no introduction to the world of boxing because I think he's such a bum. I'm talking about Jaron Ennis. Jaron Ennis, the welterweight title holder, of course, coming at us out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, taking on Emanis Stanis. That's going to go down April the 12th. It'll be on the zone. Not a fight I want to see. I really don't. I mean, come on, man. Show me some fights I want to see. In other words, if you had the best fighting the best, boxing would be doing a whole lot better than this. Of course, Dana White says he's going to change that. I don't think so. I'm not a big fan of Dana White. Of course, look what Dana White has done in the world of MMA. He's brought forward the good fights, but guess what? Guys haven't got paid. You got to pay people. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everyone says, I wish I was in your shoe. I wish I was in your shoe. the people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
Looks like Dana White is going Latino. Last night, the last four fights on his card were all won. Let's take it back. The last five fights on his card were all won by Mexican fighters. David Martinez, Raul Rosas, Edgar Chavez, Miguel Torres, and Brandon Moreno all were winners in the last four fights. Four of the five fights on the ESPN Plus card, of course, last night, coming to us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Dana White's doing things in the world of boxing. Of course, him and the Sheik have got together. They have not. They haven't indicated whether they're going to go towards women's boxing or not. Of course, and next week, I can't believe Dana's putting this guy back in the ring again. But the bottom line is Khalil Roundtree is going to take on a guy named Jamal Hill. Of course, it's going to be a light heavyweight, 205 pounds. Last time I saw Roundtree, half his face was taken apart. He must have had like 60 or 70 stitches putting him back together. And that was only 3 or 4 months ago. And they're fighting him again? That can't be good. A co-feature, another light heavyweight fight, Anthony Smith versus Zhang Miadang. That's coming to us from China, of course. That's part of the UFC picture for next week on ESPN2. Dana White taking over the sport of boxing. I am not too feeling too good about that. But we really don't know about it. When I had the luncheon with Steve Kim and Mr. Twyman and Larry Merchant, of course, and Gary Gittleson this past Wednesday, none of us really knew how to. None of us really had a spin on the Dana White takeover with the Sheik of Saudi Arabia and how they want to run the world of boxing, because they want to take over boxing and make boxing their sport. Now, of course, anytime any one person controls the sport, there's the option and corruption creeps in. It just does. You know, total control means probably corruption. So at the end of the day, I'm not a big fan of the Sheik. I'm not a big fan of Dana White. Everybody knows that. Of course, I think Dana White has done a whole lot to hurt guys in the world of boxing and professional MMA by the fact that he underpays people. I mean, he just underpays them. He pays his guys what he wants to pay them. For the most part, these guys are underpaid. They've been underpaid for a long time. I keep telling you again, Francis Ngannou sold $7 million worth of tickets for a sold-out card in Madison Square Garden, and he got $550,000 for it. $550,000 for a $7 million live gate, plus over $185 million in pay-per-view revenues. So bottom line is Dana White got all that money and Ngannou got none. So what I'm trying to tell you is at the end of the day, Dana White's a pimp. There's no doubt about it. You can't get around it. I think he's bad for boxing. He's bad for MMA. I think MMA is bad because I think of the fact that these guys are hitting each other when they're on the ground. Listen, it's exciting enough. You don't have to kick a guy when he's down. When a guy's laying on the canvas, you don't kick him in the head. But in the world of mixed martial arts and Dana White's world, that's cool. Straight up, this has been another fragmented edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank the impeccable one in the other room for putting up with me for 2 hours. This has not been my A game today. I apologize if I've been lagging. I think I have been lagging. So next week, I will come back strong both Saturday and Sunday. Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. I want to thank the new people that came on Twitch.tv and, of course, my house historian, Frank1961, main event, Matt. I can go on and on. Marky and the historian, bottom line is, I thank you all for tuning in to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I also want to thank my producer, once again, the impeccable one, for putting up with me. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of Sports Byline.